good to see you again. It really is. I love coming here. Of course, I love your pastor and his wife, but I've grown to know many of you now and love you too. I'm thankful to be here. It's an honor. It's always an honor to be asked to preach anywhere, an unworthy honor, a trust that's put upon a man to stand in another man's pulpit. You're very jealous for this pulpit, and trust I do not want to betray. I honestly mean this when I say I'd rather be sitting there where you are listening to your pastor preach. I really would. But it's a privilege to help you out. I know you're real busy at this time, and just glad to do it. Can't tell you how many times he's preached for us. Countless times. Very thankful for him. Very thankful. Turn with me to John 14, where Brother Gabe read from. John 14. And I appreciate that prayer, Brother Gabe. That was a blessing. Gabe prayed that the Lord would be glorified and God's people edified. You know, when you're a young preacher, what you're concerned about with mostly is that you don't fall on your face. You know what I mean? That you don't mess up. You want to do well, you know. You get a little older and you start preaching a while, and the burden, you want God to be glorified. You really do, don't you? You want to tell the truth. You want sinners to come to Christ. You really do. And you want God's people to be comforted. You want God's people to be edified. That's what he told, God told Isaiah to do. Comfort ye, my people. And nowhere could we find more comfort than this, what the Lord is telling his disciples here in John 14. Judas had left, and now it's just 11 apostles, true disciples that know him and love him. He loved them, and so they love him. And he's talking to them. John 14, 15, and 16, someone says, greatest message sermon ever preached, followed by the greatest prayer ever prayed. John 17, it was a prayer for them and for us. And what the Lord tells his disciples here, words of comfort, all comfort. Allaying their fears, their doubt. They're full of fears. They have doubts. They have worries about many things. And he's allaying their fears. He's comforting them and us if we're his disciples. God's word to the unbelieving world is, these words are few. His words are, repent, bow to my son, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, call on him. But to his people, this whole book is full of exceeding many great, precious promises. Promise after promise after promise from our Father who cannot lie for our comfort. So I hope these words will be comforting to believers. This is to believers here tonight. If I had a text, it would be verse 9. Look at it with me again. John 14, verse 9. And a title. Jesus saith unto Philip and to all of his disciples, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? What I hope to show us from the Lord's words here are, we just don't know him as we should. If we did, we would have very few doubts, very few fears, very few worries. If we just knew him, if we just knew him. Faith is to know him. These are the words, like I said, of our Lord to his disciple. Words of comfort. Now, the Lord had just told all of them that they were going to forsake him. He just told all of them that they were going to be offended by him and leave him. Flee from him. He just told Simon Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to be worse. You're going to deny me. And yet he is comforting them. He should be rebuking them. He should be, but he's comforting them. They're going to leave him, but he's comforting them and us. He told them he's going to leave them. He said, I must go away. He's going to leave them. So there are two things they're worried about. They're worried about him leaving. They're his little children. They're totally dependent on him. They love him. They trust him. They look to him. And he says, I'm leaving. And they really don't know where he's going. He's been telling them, but like little children, they're not listening very well. And he said he's going to leave them. All right, they're worried about that. And then he told them, you're going to leave me. Now I ask you, are these not our two greatest fears? Believer, are these not our two greatest fears that the Lord will leave us and forsake us? He's done with me now. And that we will leave him, isn't it? So our Lord here in these verses, they were all trouble. They're all trouble because of these two greatest fear. And if you're troubled by that, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. If you're worried that the Lord's going to leave you, that means he must be with you. If you're worried you're going to leave him, you must know him. You must believe him. There was a time when you weren't concerned at all. You understand what I'm saying? So these are our two biggest fears, and the Lord is allaying those fears. Now, they were full of trouble. They were full of doubts and fears about him and about them. And in spite of all he had said and shown them, what it was is they really hadn't heard what he said. They really weren't listening to him. They really didn't believe him. Had they really been listening to him, he'd been telling them all along, I'm leaving. This is why I came, and this is what I did, and I did it for you, and I'm going away. And he told them that. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem, and they're going to take me and crucify me, but I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to come back, and you're going to be happy. It's like they didn't hear a thing. And they're full of doubts and fears and worries. Like us. It's like we don't hear a thing, isn't it? Most of our worries and fears are unbelief, aren't they? We have worries. We have doubts. We have fears about others and about ourselves. But we worry about those we love. We worry about things. We don't know the outcome. And it's love. It's not always unbelief. It's love. But most of our doubts and fears are we really don't know our Lord well enough to trust him. You follow me? So the title of this message is Our Little Known Lord. How little we know the Lord. If we knew him better, we would have less doubts and fear. Now the disciples had seen many things that the Lord had done, hadn't they? They had seen him, they saw him. He healed the blind, saw the blind given eyes to see. They saw the lame to walk. They saw the lepers cleansed. They saw the deaf to hear, didn't they? They saw the deaf healed. They saw the dead raised to life. The poor have the gospel preached to them. They'd gone through storms and thought the Lord had left them and they were all going to perish. And yet they saw him coming to them in the midst of the worst of storms. Well, brethren, we've seen all of these things, haven't we? We've seen the same thing. I once was blind, and now I see. Aren't you? I've seen the blind given eyes to see. I've seen the deaf given ears to hear. I've seen people sit there and sit there and sit there and hear message after message. I did. And hear message after message after message. And then one day their ears are open. That's proof. Everything he said is true. I've seen the lame walk. Those who could not come to Christ, those who would not come to Christ, I've seen them come to Christ. Dead raised. You hath he quickened who were dead and trespassing in sin. So we've seen the same thing. We've heard the same gospel. They heard him speak as no man could speak. And so have we. You've heard your pastor preach and broke your heart, healed your heart, opened your eyes, opened your ear. Same Lord. Same Lord. And yet they still had doubts and fears and unbelief. They saw all of this. They had been with him for 3.5 years, or rather he with them. He said, "Have I been so long time with you?" They had been with him for 3.5 years. And all that they had seen, all that they had heard him say, and yet they were still full of doubts and fears. Why? You know, after it was all said and done, these were grown men. These were adult men. And what did he call them? Little children. Little children. That's how little children acted. And they were worried. Peter and Thomas and Philip and Jude, they were all worried, weren't they? Huh? Simon Peter, "Lord, why can't I go?" The Lord said, "I'm going away." He said, "I want to come." He said, "You can't." He said, "Oh, why not?" That sounds just like your children. "Where are you going? Can't I come?" "No, you can't come. Later." "I want to go." "Thomas, we don't know where you're going. Show us the way." "Philip, well, show me something. Show me the Father." "Jude, how?" They were all asking questions like, when or where, what or how. Or your pastor preached a message down in Chicago. He may have preached it here. Did you preach it here? 2 Timothy 1:12. "I know whom I have believed." And he said, if you know whom you believe, all the answers to the who, what, where, and how are answered. It's like they said, Thomas said, "We don't know the way." He said, "If you'd known me, you know the way. I am the way. We don't know where you're going. If you know me, you're already there." Do you understand? "To show us the Father." "Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the Father. Don't you believe that?" He did only things, he said only things that God could say and do, didn't he? We've heard that same voice, haven't we? So he said in verse 1, look at verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." You believe in God? This is not a question. He's reassuring them in it. You believe in God. They did. There was a time they didn't. There was a time you didn't. There was a time I didn't. But now I do. I really do. Don't you? Don't be afraid. It's not presumption to say that. It's faith. Why did we believe? Not we didn't decide to. God gave us this faith. Faith's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. We do believe in God, don't we? The God of the Bible. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." You believe in God. Well, believe also in me. You believe in God. We do, don't we? I mean the God of the Bible. Your pastor preaches the God of the Bible. Very few men do, but he does. And you've heard, "Be God." This is life eternal, Christ said in John 17, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. We know the only true God, don't we? We've heard him preach. You've heard him preach. We know the God who is God. Not the God who's trying to be God. Not the God who wants to be God if you let him. That's no God at all. We know the God who is God. The God who works all things after the counsel of his will. His will. That he does according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Doesn't it? That's the God we know. You know that God? Sure you do. You believe in him, don't you? We do. We believe in that God, our Creator, our Sovereign, our Judge, our Father. Christ kept telling them this, "I go to my Father and your Father." God who worketh all things after his will. God who reigns and rules in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" That's the God who is God, isn't it, brother? We believe that God. We really do. You know how few people do? Well, this is life eternal. We believe the God who purposed all things, who predestined all things, who ordered all things, and it's all sure. It's absolutely going to come to pass. Every single thing that he has purposed and ordered, and he did all this before the world began. Predestined all things. You know how few people believe that? I do. Do you? You believe in God. That's life. It's life. We believe that God was manifest in the flesh. We believe that that God became a man. And His name is Jesus Christ. That man who walked this earth 2,000 years ago is not just a man named Jesus. He's God manifest in the flesh. Call His name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. We believe that that Son of God is not just the Son of God. He is God. He's the Father and yet the Son. You say, I don't understand. I don't either, but I believe it. Don't you? You believe in God. And so He says, believe also in me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. That's what Scripture said. And John said, we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we might know Him that is true. What's that? The true God. And we're in Him that is true. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Do you believe God? Do you believe this God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? You have life. What you got to worry about? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. He went on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. That is much room. You reckon there's room for me? I reckon there's room for you. Many mansions. If it were not so, He said, I would have told you. God who cannot lie. This is the record that God who cannot lie, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son, he that hath faith in the Son, he that has a need for the Son, he that believes the Son hath life. Not might have it, hath life. You believe in God. Believe also in me, Christ said. Oh my, I wish I believed Him more, don't you? There's a psalm, Psalm 9, verse 10, that I remember reading as a young believer that blessed me so much and it stuck with me all those days. It says that they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. They that know thy name will put thy trust in thee. What's His name? Well, we call our Lord, Lord, because He is, don't we? He said, you call me Lord and Master, and you say well, for so I am. He really is Lord. He reigns and rules over all things. He's the sovereign Lord, isn't it? He is. He's called Lord Jesus. What's that mean? It means Savior. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Not might save, He shall save. Did He? We believe that He did. We believe. Christ, what's that mean? The Messiah, the mediator, the Messiah, the mediator, the covenant head, the substitute, the prophet, the priest, the king, the one whom God would send as our the Lord, our righteousness, the Lord, our shepherd, the Lord, our everything, the Lord, our salvation, Lord Jesus Christ. They that know His name will put their trust in Him. Do you believe He's Lord? Do you believe He's your Lord? Then everything's fine. Jesus, Savior. You trust Him, your Savior, huh? From sin? That's His name. Christ, Messiah, representative, substitute. Do you? Messiah. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. They did. They believed. These disciples did. They believed Him. They really did. One time, He asked them, He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they began to say different things. Some say you're this and some say you're that. He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up. One time he spoke up, and I'm glad he did. He said, we're sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I know the Lord smiled. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, have not I chosen you? I've chosen you, like Isaiah 53 said, that you might know me. You believe in God. Believe also in that. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. In verse 3. I go to prepare a place for you. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Is that you? The Lord went to the cross to save sinners. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to Calvary's tree to be your substitute, to be your sin offering. He's telling this to his disciples. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to Calvary to be made sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in me. And I'm going to the grave to take my sins, which I bore in my body on the tree, and take your sins and cast them far away from you as far as the east is from the west, so that they'll never be brought up again. He said, then I'm going to the Holy of Holies and put my blood on the mercy seat within the veil in the Holy of Holies where God is, and put the blood on the mercy seat that you might be accepted. I go to prepare a place for you. And then I'm coming, then I'm going to the throne where I'm going to sit forever, reigning and ruling, making sure everything that I ordered will come to pass, making sure every single one of my people are brought into the fold, every one of my sheep. And then I'm coming again. I'm coming again. If I can't, he says, if I came for you the first time, I'm coming back for you the second time. Let not your heart be troubled. Do we not worry that when the Lord comes for his people, he'll leave us out? Surely he's going to forget about me. No. You may forget him. We just don't know him well enough. Just don't know him well enough. He kept saying this in verse 7. If you'd known me, you should have known my Father. In verse 9, have I been so long time with you, and yet you haven't known me? We act like we don't know him. This is our peace. This is our comfort. This is our assurance in knowing him. Now, let me, just a few more minutes. I told many I was going to be about 30 minutes. I am. I mean it. All our doubts and fears and unbelief reveal how little we know of our Lord. If we only knew him more, we would have more assurance. We'd have more faith. Because faith is not in us, in ourselves, but it's in him. It's trusting him. It's looking to him. And if we knew him better, who he is, we would have less unbelief and less fear, less doubt. If we knew more about his perfect love, the reason we can't understand, the reason we can't really believe his love more fully is because we only have our love to judge love by. And that's a poor judgment. His love is perfect love. I mean perfect love. And perfect love, Scripture says, casts out fear. If we only knew his love, once he loves someone, if he loves someone, it's forever. His love never fails. It cannot fail. His love saves. Whomever he loves, he saves. Wouldn't you? If you love your children, don't you? If you could save them, would you? He can. And he does. Because that's perfect love. Perfect love never quits. Perfect love never fails. He said, you're going to fail me. You're going to leave me. You're going to be unfaithful to me. He cannot be unfaithful. It's not possible for him to leave his people, those he loves. You understand? He's going to leave me. It's not possible if he loves you. His love covereth. Love covereth all. The word atonement means covering. Those you love, you don't expose their sins. You cover them. You don't talk about them. You don't bring them up. You cover them, don't you? You don't want the sins of your loved ones to be known. That's what Christ said. They're going to look for the sins of Israel. They're not going to be found. I've covered them. Why was our Lord silent when he went to stood before Herod? Because he's dying with our sins. And he became us. And he's going to die with our secrets. Our secrets died with him. Do you understand? There's going to be a day when the secrets of men are going to be exposed. The books are going to be open, and every single secret done by men that they think is covered, he's going to expose it. But not his people. the covenant. Not one single charge is going to be brought up against them. Love covereth. Covereth. His perfect knowledge of us. If we knew something of His perfect love, it would cast out fear. His perfect knowledge of us. Our salvation is really not knowing Him, because we know so little, although He said that. But we know Him, Paul said, or rather are known of Him. The reason we know something of Him is because He knows us. He foreknew us. It's His knowledge of us that is our salvation. His perfect knowledge of us. David wrote Psalm 139. One of my favorite. He says, Thou hast searched me. Thou hast known me. There's not a thought in my head you don't know. There's not a word in my mouth you don't know. And He still loves us. He said, such thoughts are too wonderful for me. Thy thoughts, O Lord. God said, I know my thoughts toward you. Thoughts of peace. Bring you to an expected end. His perfect knowledge of us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He knoweth our frame. The parent knows the children, unlike the children know the parent, don't they? And you know what their peace and comfort is? That the Father knows them and loves them and cares for them. If we only knew. If we only knew Him better. His mercy. His mercy. That's His name. Moses said, who shall I say hath sent me? He said, tell him the Lord God, merciful. That's His name. The scripture says He delights to show mercy. He says He takes great pleasure in them that fear Him and that hope in His mercy. Brethren, that's about all I can do. Isn't it you hoping? That's about all I can do is hope in His mercy. It says He takes great pleasure. Nothing gives Him more pleasure than to show mercy. Well, that's what I need the most. Well, nothing gives Him more pleasure. He said, if you'd known me, if you only knew me, have I been so long time with you and you doubt me and you're worried? If you only knew me. His mercy endureth forever. I heard you preach from Psalm 136 one time, Brother Bob. 26 verses. And every single verse ends with this. 26 verses. Every single verse is, His mercy endureth forever. Why does He keep telling us this? Do you keep telling your children the same thing over and over again? He must mean it. His mercy endureth forever. Forever. If we only knew His mercy. David one time said, His mercy clean gone. And then he went in the sanctuary and said, I forgot. God can't forget to be merciful. That's His name. Faithful. You knew how faithful God is. Ready to pardon. A God ready to pardon. More ready to pardon than we are to ask for it. In fact, God pardoned His people before the world began. They were pardoned before they ever sinned. That's ready to pardon them. Oh my, ready to pardon. Let me give you a good illustration. I preached a little while and I'm going to show you something. Like my pastor said one time, that little girl liked his preaching. Our God is ready to pardon anyone, anytime, every time, every time. No matter what. Is that right? No matter what. All manner of sins shall be forgiven. Just ask. Lord, forgive me. Anytime, every time. He waits to be gracious. Not like false religion says He's waiting on man to do something. But His people, He's going to be gracious. And He's going to grant repentance. And they're going to call on Him. And He's going to answer them. Before they call, He's going to answer. And He's ready to pardon. Ready to fight. Let me show you something. It's not in your Bible, but in 1 Chronicles 13. You say, it's not in my Bible. It's not in your Bible. You see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? See those scribble marks? It's scribble marks all over 1 Chronicles 13. Isabella did that. When she was about 2 years old, they were with visiting us. And I had my Bible open on the footstool in front of my chair with an ink pen on it. And I was out of the room, and I came back in the room, and Isabella just, oh, my Bible. And Isabella, it upset me. That's my Bible. And I got up in front of her, and I sat down in the chair, and she's standing there. And the only time I've ever yelled at her, it's the last two. I said, honey, what you done? Now, she didn't know what she'd done. She didn't know what she'd done. I had to make her realize what she'd done. That she'd marred my Bible. I had to make her realize that. I had to grant her repentance. I had to make her realize what she'd done. I had to grant her repentance. I had to make her feel sorry for her. And then she was sorry. And her little lip went out. Do you know what, Brother Obi? I had already pardoned her before I made her realize that. Before I had said a thing, she was pardoned. There's nothing she could do I wouldn't pardon. Right? Brethren, Scripture says the Son of God's visage was marred more than any man, wasn't it? It said, well, we with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. We left scars on His hands, permanent on His feet. But He had already pardoned us before that happened. You know what I think of every time I look at 1 Chronicles 13 in this Bible? Think of Isabella. And I'm not mad at all. It doesn't. In fact, I look on that with fondness. I say, look. Honestly. Our Lord said, I've engraved my people on the palms of my hands with the scars of those nails. That's what it took to make us His people. And He looks at those scars with fondness, with love. Ready to pardon. Ready to pardon. If we only knew His grace, His goodness, if we only knew His faithfulness, if we only knew His long-suffering, if we only knew, how long is the Lord going to put up with us? How long does it take? If we only knew how patient He was. He never is put out. He never is. No one ever imposes on the Lord. You can never. One time, Sophie came up to my little study in the attic, and she said, I've come up here to tell you that me mom told me I was not to come up here and bother you. You think I kicked her out? No way. I was glad to see her. That rule didn't apply to her. Now, He says we can come boldly, come freely, anytime. It's God's people. In my Father's house. He says it's my Father's house. It's your house. Come boldly, come freely. Ask anything. If you only knew me. And He's too good to err. He said all things work together for good. Those disciples thought Him leaving is the worst thing that could happen. No, no, no. He said, no evil shall befall you. He can't do evil. He's too good to do evil. He loves too much to do evil. No evil shall befall you, He said. None. It can't happen. It's all good. Someday we're going to know. As we've been known. And we're going to say, I just didn't see it at the time. I just didn't know it. I just didn't believe. I couldn't see how this awful thing that has happened could possibly be. But I know now. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How do you know somebody? They've got to reveal themselves to you. Don't they? How do you know somebody? You've got to talk to them. They've got to talk to you. How do you know somebody? You've got to walk with them. You've got to commune with them. How are we going to know him better? Same way. Come and hear this man. You get to know him more. Call on the Lord. You walk with him. Talk to him. You commune with him. And the more you know him, the more you trust him. May the Lord cause us to know him better. Amen.